Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Let me just open up with a couple of items, and then I will open it up to questions. I just came from a meeting with the Korean ambassador, South Korean ambassador, and I had invited him to my office to discuss South Korea's commitment to U.S. beef, and that follows on with a meeting I had yesterday with members of South Korea's assembly. Just to put things in the perspective here, this past April, the United States and South Korea entered into an agreement to resume shipments of all U.S. beef products from cattle of all ages, consistent with World Animal Health Organization guidelines. However, the South Korean government has since backed away from this agreement, prolonging the ban on U.S. beef imports. This ban on U.S. beef, I think, puts the United States-South Korean Free Trade Agreement in jeopardy. And if you look back just a few years to 2003, the South Korean beef market was valued at more than $800 million and was the third largest market for U.S. beef. Opening the South Korean market to U.S. beef could potentially result in more than $1 billion a year in trade to the U.S. beef industry. South Korean beef or South Korean government needs to honor their agreement and resume the importation of U.S. beef, which of course is some of the safest and finest and highest quality beef in the world. And reopening that South Korean market to U.S. beef would greatly benefit South Dakota's beef producers and the state's economy. So we're going to continue to press on this issue. It's been very frustrating now, going back to 2003 when they closed the market in the first place, that they have been so reluctant to move forward with opening it, despite what all the science and World Animal Health Organization guidelines suggest. And so we're going to continue to make the case as strongly and aggressively as we can that this market needs to be opened up to our livestock producers in South Dakota. The other thing I'll mention is you may have read in a release we put out earlier this week, the Air Force has announced that they're going to be studying the potential impacts of expanding the Powder River Training Complex, which is regularly used by Ellsworth's B-1s. This is something that I've been working with the Air Force on since 2006. And I'm very pleased with this development. I believe it holds a great deal of promise in keeping Ellsworth among the Air Force's elite bases and well-positioned to attract new missions. The proposed changes to the Powder River training area would give Ellsworth B-1 air crews more realistic air combat training and reduce fuel costs at the same time. And it's also possible that other since there are constraints on other military training areas, that some of these changes would provide better training for other branches of the military. It might open it up to other squadrons that could come in from other places around the country, further increasing the range and Ellsworth's long-term value to the military. The Air Force has scheduled a series of public meetings to hear comments about that expansion, and so I want to encourage South Dakotans in those affected towns and reservation communities to attend these meetings and to learn more and to provide input on the process. But it is important to know that the improvements in this range space will better enable Ellsworth B-1 air crews to train with a new piece of equipment that's commonly called the sniper pod. And these air crews just received this equipment. It was rated as the number one urgently needed initiative by the top Air Force commander that oversees operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. They've got it installed, and the training is they're coming bringing our pilots up to speed much more quickly than was originally anticipated, demonstrating again the importance of this particular piece of equipment. But what it essentially does, the targeting pod or the sensor on the targeting pod, enables B-1 crews to guide precision weapons and provide important real-time intelligence to troops on the ground, which makes them that much more effective and safe operating in some of these theaters around the world like Iraq and Afghanistan. And I've heard from ground troops just how enormously beneficial it is to have the B-1s in the air around them to be able to strike targets and to take pressure off some of these ground troops that are trying to win the war against terror. And what this particular piece of equipment will do is make them that much more effective in accomplishing that objective because of the real-time intelligence that they'll be able to provide to troops on the ground, as well as the great precision with which they'll be able to strike targets. The last thing I'll mention before opening up to questions is that Congress does need to pass an emergency supplemental spending bill for our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. The failure to do that is having an impact on our armed forces. If you put it in very simple terms, the Pentagon is being forced into a position to keep our troops on the front lines supplied by taking away funds from other vital parts of our military. due to congressional inaction, the Pentagon is going through a massive administrative disruption right now to move money around to fund combat operations, and that just should not be tolerated or accepted. Secretary of Defense Gates has said these reprogramming actions, and I quote, cost the taxpayers money, disrupt programs, and create enormous problems from a management standpoint, end quote. So by not allowing these departments to execute long-range planning, we are really putting our military at a disadvantage in terms of them being able to perform their mission. Ultimately delaying this legislation, the Supplemental Appropriation Bill, has both long- and short-term consequences. It sends entirely the wrong message to our troops in the field. And Congress's failure to pass it and to fund our military while we've got brave men and women fighting on the front lines in Iraq and Afghanistan really is unconscionable. And I hope that the Democrat leadership in Congress will realize this and schedule a vote soon.